We'll have communion afterwards. But as we begin to look at some of this, and we're all very familiar with it, and I really didn't even come up with much of a paper of notes and things that I would think about. It didn't hit me, and I really was looking at last night to say, Lord, just speak through me, and what is it to be shared? And so I'm going to go John 7 first, John 7:37. John 7:37. And he's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And it says that on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out. He says this, if anyone would thirst, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirst, so we find out in John here, if anyone thirst, are you thirsting today? Do you continually thirst after the things of the Holy Spirit, the things that Jesus has spoken about? And then it goes on to say, let him come to me and what? Drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Anyone that thirsts, believes in Jesus, living waters will flow. Amen. It's exciting. That's encouraging. That's a promise. That's something that we should look forward to every day. That as we have this promise, as Jesus in the red says this. Now, in this thought process, I'm going to share some things here. And it talks about those who are satisfied by Jesus will themselves become channels of spiritual refreshment for others. Isn't that interesting? We come to find out that all of this that we reap, all of this that we gain from that of God, that of Jesus, and that of the Holy Spirit, guess who it's really for? It's for others around us. It's living in us, working in us, working through us, bringing forth that word that is alive from God into somebody's life here that we have the privilege of being in contact with. That the Lord, in his wisdom, in his times of crossing paths of our lives with other people out there, that there's a plan and a purpose in all of our meetings. Amen. I don't understand it and I don't see it all the time. Do you? The people I have conversations with, the people that I might only see once or twice, and I will never see them again, but I trust and I pray if we are filled with the Holy Spirit that we have that what? That out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That we will be able to say something in the respects to that person that what they need to hear from that of God. A confirmation, a direction, whatever the case might be. Or it could just be as simple as, have a good day. You know, I'm not saying it's got to be earth-shattering verbiage out there and that we're going to, you know, just do whatever and prophetically speak into their lives. But I think as we lead our life day in and day out, that just becomes our nature of what we are and who we are is that of the Spirit working in us and through us to touch the hearts and lives of others. So we want to look at this. So, we will become channels of spiritual refreshment for others. The figure of rivers is a contrast to that of the fountain. And that's an interesting, because back in John 4:14, what does he tell us? Now in 4:14, he says this. He's talking to that, like the Samaritan woman that meets her Messiah, okay, at the well. And he goes on in 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So when we look at this as a fountain, we're looking at it as indicates that of like living water, as a great illustration of the regeneration into everlasting life as we begin to see this. So we find out when we get that of the salvation, when we hear of Jesus and we get that what? That fountain that will be in us, we will never thirst. Once you have that with Christ, amen, receiving him, prior to that, you were dry. You were barren. Spiritually, there you were just like the sadness of it is sometimes we don't even realize that's the way we were until we realize that's the way we were. We go through life thinking that's the norm. Life tells us, oh, you're down? Normal. Feel like you're not going anywhere? Normal. You know, whatever the case might be. But that's not normal. That's abnormal to the things of what God speaks because of God's plan, God's destinies, God's direction for all of our lives is not just to be here meandering around for X number of years and just for whatever purpose and reason that, well, we're just here and whatever happens is going to happen. No, we're here for what's going to happen, will happen through us as we begin to have, number one, that relationship with Jesus Christ as that fountain. He shall give me that water that I will never thirst again and become in me that fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I have that everlasting life. All of a sudden, oh, you were barren and dry and drought and your little flower petals were drooping. A lot of people in life out there, you ever see them out there now, there's a lot of people out there just drooping. Their leaves are drawn down and their flowers are like bent over. It's because they're dry inside. This world will suck the life out of you, won't it? But we've got to understand that there's that fountain, but then, when we get to that point of a spirit-filled life with when Jesus is speaking in what I talked about in 7:38, that he is saying now, if anyone thirsts, let's see, the promise of the Holy Spirit, okay, now he's talking about, you know, to the religious leaders and things, the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him. The Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. This is in John 7:32. There's always somebody out there to take something away from you that God is about ready to give you. Something that's good coming down that path to your life that God has for you. You look in society or you look in your normal day in and day out life, there's something there to suck it away from you, to suck that life out of you. So as here we find, Jesus is getting ready to share these things and the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the chief priests, they want to take him. As they always did. Then Jesus says to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I will go to him who sent me, and you will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? They were thinking what? Worldly. We think worldly a lot, don't we? In our life and the things that we deal with, we easily fall into that world entrapment that all of this is the world things and the world scene, and I don't know how this is going to work. What do you mean, God, you're going to give me a great life? I don't see that here. Well, we know the great life is really, truly those of us as we have Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that great life. What did that say? For you've shown me heavens, my true home. We've got to get to that understanding that what is our true home? Heaven, not this place. Enjoy this place as while you're here, you know. But we understand that there's a much better place, that of heaven. So as he's speaking this here, we find out they're saying, well, where can he hide? Does he intend to go to the disparate disposition among the Greeks and to teach the Greeks? And what is the things that he has said that you will seek me? Now in the red, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. And says this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow those rivers of living water, the living water that comes forth out of us. And then quickly, we can just turn over to that of Acts. And we all know this. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Just quickly, we understand this to be 1:8. In Acts 1:8, we talk about, or we will see here, of that of the power and of the witnessing. In 1:8, it says here, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and to all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit promised. The Holy Spirit is for us today, as we've been reflecting and looking at many times now, the revivals of the years and decades past. We have found that it's the moving of that of the Spirit of God upon the people, upon the land, upon that small body of people, or maybe it grew to a larger body of people. There was something in those times of revival that began to draw people there. And sometimes I think we would find that sometimes people will be there and they would be here and they might say, "I don't know why I'm here, but I just ended up finding myself what? Here! Drawn by something." And they were drawn by the Spirit for a time such as this. And when is that going to happen again? I know that the power of the Holy Spirit is evident and effective for who? Today and for us. Hey, hon, would you turn the fans off, please? There's... And so we've got the Spirit today with us. We had the Spirit back then. Is it the same Spirit? Yes. And so as excitement comes, and it's not an excitement of, "Oh, I feel the hairs on the back of my neck rise up," but maybe the hairs on the back of your neck rise up, okay, by the Holy Spirit as He comes and you begin to sense these things. Now, so we've read in Acts, and we know that Jesus said for the disciples in there as He went, "Go and wait until that power comes upon you." So we know that Jesus is saying there's a great power within that of the Holy Spirit, and you've got to wait for that to come upon you to really be effective, to go into that next level, that next direction that God has for this time. And that's that level and that time that we are in today. We are in the time of the Holy Spirit. We are in that time of, we need the coming of the Holy Spirit. We need the fire and the tongues and the cloven flame. We need it all. We need that to where we'll know that we've got that that living water coming out of us, that stream that continues to flow. You know, fountains and rivers, there's a couple of different thoughts of that. But I know that with the river continues, doesn't it? As long as there's a source to be, wherever if there's a source of water to flow, it'll flow into that river and it'll go. And I think we find that as these examples here of the river will flow out of you. The Spirit will flow out of us. It's never to be, we are not to be infilled with the Holy Spirit and then just keep Him in and put a cork on us. We're not bottling the Holy Spirit to only be used for us or me when I need it. It's to come and fill me and to pour out of me for those around me, family, friends, or guess what? Enemies. Whatever the case might be. But the Spirit comes in and it goes out. It comes in and it goes out. This is the importance of being in that flow. It's important to be fed. It's important to continue to meditate. It's important to continually say, "Here am I. Fill me." Maybe like the gentleman was speaking today back in the Welsh revival, where young man, Evan Roberts, right? So who we talked about. And he was sharing about, "Bend me, Lord, bend me." Wow. So I don't know what it is for us today. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is for the church if I want to say, "Lord, bend Harvester's Church." But I want to say, "Lord, use Harvester's Church. Lord, use the people, the body of Christ here to do what you want to do with what you want to do." I don't even want to call and have Him do what I want Him to do. I want Him to have His way with us, Lord. Have your way. Whatever that is, Lord, I will be satisfied if it's your way and not my way. I don't know what it is, do you? But it's His way. And it's knowing and realizing through that of the Holy Spirit in us that we will know that we know that we know, guess what? That we have been in His presence. And that we gained something that is very valuable. A touch of the Holy Spirit in a tangible way. He's there tangibly within us already, I believe. But we would be able to see the outflowing. Well, we talk and hear about these past times of revivals. And I tell you what, for those that are looking for that and desiring for that to happen, you really easily, you start kind of like salivating. Like, you know, you're like, oh man, that would be so great, you know. It's like, that sounds good. That would be awesome. You know, bars closed down. Businesses closed down. This morning it talked about there was no crime after these revivals came and they laid off police officers because they weren't needed. It talked about the animals. They weren't used to not being cussed at. They didn't know what to think. I mean, even the animals will look at it differently, like, what is going on, you know? But to see that power of the Spirit come into a place, and it's like we can't, I don't want to control Him. I don't want to put walls around Him to fit our ways of doing things, you know? And sometimes we put those walls and we don't even really know it sometimes. We do it by our plans, our desires, what we think is right. And in a normal setting, it probably is right and probably normal. But just to be able to say, little Spirit of God, have your way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, as You heard my prayer this past Wednesday, Lord, and I stand there, Lord, with the other handful of pastors that sat around those tables, Lord. And when I said, Lord, come into Your churches this Sunday. Minister as You would desire. Minister to Your people. That is a prayer. That is our desire. Lord, we want what You want. Lord, I ask You to show us individually. What is it, Lord, that we need to do personally, Lord, to relinquish our time, our talent, our ability, whatever it is, Lord, relinquish it to You, as what that gentleman prayed when he was searching more and more of the Holy Spirit, where he said, bend me, God, bend me. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Gloriata shandeliata. Ye lara gloriata santate. We find in the Old Testament, only those uniquely called or anointed of God receive the Holy Spirit. But under the New Covenant, every believer is offered that promise of the Father, the active presence of the Holy Spirit, It is by this activity of the Holy Spirit's fullness in the life of every believer that the ministry of Christ and his church will continue. Amen. We are the church. So it talks about here some of the actions. Believe that the power of God comes only by the Holy Spirit. Do not attempt ministry without the Holy Spirit. Believe the power of God comes by the Holy Spirit. Do not attempt ministry without it. Seek and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Continually be refilled with the Spirit to regularly renew your life in ministry. Exercise your prayer language as a part of the Spirit's flow into your life. We're understanding of renewing. We renew maybe articles or subscriptions. It used to be magazine subscriptions, but even now sometimes internet stuff and emails to renew those things to continually to come to you. Renew those things in the natural so that they continue. So we've got to understand that we need to continually be filled and regularly renew these things in our life. Expect your Spirit-filled relationship with Jesus to help you speak boldly with courage and spiritual understanding. What a benefit of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the purpose, there's many purposes, but it's that ability to know the Holy Spirit speaking in and through you. Share Jesus boldly and ask the Holy Spirit to confirm your testimony. And that's what it's about too, is your testimony. Those are just thoughts and things here in a sidebar of speaking in that area of Acts. You have a wonderful testimony. You have a wonderful thing in your life that God has done through that of Jesus Christ. And now being that of the Holy Spirit in you, filling you continually to go out and to minister. And the minister is just to share, just to talk, just to be that example out there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray here today, Lord, if anyone in themselves right now, in their own heart, thinks or doubts that they've got the fullness or the completion of the filling of the Holy Spirit in them, Lord, I would pray right now that they would just ask, Lord, to say, fill me. Just like my brother said one time about wanting to speak in tongues, and he hasn't got there yet. And I said, if you're asking, he will fulfill that. He will not hold it back. As we ask things of our Heavenly Father, and they are the things that he wants us to have, he will drop everything, so to speak, and he will put it in your spirit. He will put it in your life. And so if it's those areas of our lives, we say, Lord, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want that evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord. Not that that saves me, but that evidence, Lord. And Lord, help me and work with me in those areas, Father God. But I believe you and I trust you for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Goriata shandeliaka sundriata. Thank you, Father. Just be in his presence, would you please? Just be in his presence. Thank you, Father. Come, Lord, come. Hallelujah, Lord. Let it ring, let it pour. Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Yes, Lord, let your rain, your presence. Every day that I live. Yes, Lord. With every breath I breathe, let the rain. Lord, as we maybe during this time of prayer now, Lord, that we've asked for more of you, and Lord, I pray that that would come into our lives. But Father, I pray that we will become actively active in that of the Spirit, Father, to move in us, to lead us, to draw us closer to you, but more so, Lord, to minister to others. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, as you've touched us now, as only you can. And Lord, that you will continue throughout this week, that you will continue to find us. Find us wherever we're at, hallelujah. It's time, Father, I believe, and trust it's your time, and we want it to be your time. We pray for that power of the Spirit here. We pray for the power of the Spirit upon our community here in Janesville and Rock County, Lord, touching the churches, Lord, that you have placed here, the individual pastors, Lord, that you would come into more of their times of their times with you, Father, that they would sense and grow in that development of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And that, Lord, that as is brought up in the last Wednesday, Lord, that it's we're not going to fear the movement of the Spirit. We're not going to fear you, Lord, in what you want to do. We may not understand it, but that's okay. It's you, Father, as you pour out your Spirit upon your sons and daughters. Yes, Lord, young and old. Young and old. Referring back into Isaiah 40, starting in verse 3, where the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Oh, hallelujah. All the flesh. I pray for the harvester's flesh. For the harvester's flesh. That we will see it together. Amen. I pray that what I see and that of the Spirit and what God's wanting to do, you're going to see it as well. And we'll have that unity. We'll have that closeness of what the Spirit is calling out for us to do and to be for all that he has for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, yeah, then we're going to...
Is acceptable. We just have to accept it. We can't carry around guilt from our failures. We have to put that under the blood and move on. And the other thing was, he's given us the powers to do his work. When he puts a thought on our heart to pray somebody for somebody or lay hands on them and pray for them, that's your job.
Yep.
And let it go right there. Because it isn't you doing the work or me doing the work. It's him.
Amen.
He's just asked us to be faithful and do what we're told.
That's right. Yes.
And the other thing is, sometimes... I don't go out and do things because I've messed up and I feel guilty. How can I be able to go out and share or pray or do for somebody else when I just messed up for that? And he says, mm-hmm. all I ask you to do is come
yes,
and ask for forgiveness and take that forgiveness
yes, Lord.
And leave it and move on. Move on in newness and freshness.
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's what he did on Amen. The cross.
Yes.
And you know, the devil would like to use our human guilt complex and just mess us up.
Very
he
much.
Hasn't got a chance. He has no right to do that. Because we're in Christ. We're new creatures.
Thank you, Father.
We're created new every day.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think that's we've got to get that understanding that don't allow the enemy to beat you down or to take away what God has put in you. God has put you into that place, and God knows our shortcomings, but God is there to take those shortcomings away day in and day out as we realize those things and as we get closer to Him. They say, you know, less of me and what? More of Him. As Paul said, I must decrease so that He can increase. It's an ongoing, daily, living life thing that we do until we're called home to that place in heaven. Ooh, hallelujah! And so we've got that victory. We've got that power. We've got that strength. And it's just a matter of us knowing it and receiving it. And believing it. I think so many times, we, even a good Christian people, we read God's Word and sometimes we don't really truly really believe it, that it's for us. I cannot believe that that could be for me because I know who me is and boy, was me not good or whatever the case might be. But no, it is for us. And so, you know, we've got to get that understanding and that's where the Holy Spirit helps us tremendously, where He can come in and be a convicting to us but not condemning us. Convict me, Lord, of the things so that I can get better for you. Yes, Janice.
He's a leveling influence.
A leveling influence. Oh, okay.
I took, when I read that the first time, I took that personally, that he was going to level me up. I won't have the anger and the
self. Good. Hmm. Neat. Awesome. That's a good message. That's a good revelation that He would give us, huh? And for us to look at those things. And I know we read those things in scriptures, and you know the highs and the lows and all. But it is it's this, you know, all the things that we're dealing with again of God is the spiritual things. For the most part, all the parts, a spiritual battle, spiritual things, spiritual oppression, things of these things that hold us down, hold us down, hold us down. Because I tell you, once we are held down in the emotions, held down in our mind, held down in our physicalness, we will not get anything accomplished in the natural to go out to be able to share His love and to show His love and to show His peace and to show His and to pray for people. We will be just like that. And so it's all a spiritual battle we're in. But, you know, it's the flesh, and as we in the natural go out to do these things for the kingdom of God, that it plays into that too. So I like how you looked at that.
Well, the other thing is that if you accept the Lord and there's no change in you, with me, I had emotions that were all over the place.
Yeah.
I was in counseling for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and it didn't help a bit. But once I got the Lord, everybody saw the difference.
Yes.
My emotions.
Thank you, Lord.
So that I wasn't.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Let it be the trueness of you, God, in us, that people see those things. That's good. We're going to go ahead and, Dan, if you want to prepare our time for communion.
And,
yes. Well, I pray that God shows each of you something, myself included, all of us here today, that He will show you something in your life that's a part of the parcel of the puzzle of what we're doing, you know, and that we all play it together. And, you know, we're gonna fit these things in, but the Holy Spirit has got to be that orchestrator. You know, He's got to be that one that is doing it. So, Oh, hallelujah. So we're going to go ahead and receive the communion for today. We do it because he said to do it, right? Do it on often as in remembrance of me until I return. And he's coming back. Don't know when. But I'm going to see him one way or the other. Whether I'm here and he comes back or I'm called home to glory, I'm going to see him. And so I'm going to say, Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Father. But anyway, we do this with recognition of what he has asked us to do and what Paul had shared in the Passover time and the importance of it, to where he took that of the element of the bread and the element of the wine and passed it and told them to do it, you know, in remembrance of him. Thank you, Father. You know, you probably daily or somehow, you know, I don't know. Do you? What am I going to say? The groanings, yeah. But, you know, even throughout the time of day, you think about sometimes, all of a sudden you'll think about maybe the cross. Maybe you'll think about Jesus. You know, not all the time, but on the cross. And maybe you'll think of it this day about something else, or maybe this day or that day or whatever. But, you know, you go back and you reflect upon all of those things that he did for us and the love he has for us. And you look at the people around you and the love he has for them, and they may be totally far from him, but his love that he has for them. And so it's like, Lord, how can I be an example or show them that love that you have? And it's little by little, by relational type things of building up. I was at the Cedar Crest Cafe this past week, and one of the help that's there covering for the lady that's gone for this week, I just went there, wasn't to even visit with my friend. I just went there, had my Bible. It's a quiet place. I sit down, had a little, I like their salads. That's the best place to go, I guess, dietary, you know, I just go get a salad and coffee. But she came over to the table, she goes, so what are you reading? I go, oh, the Bible. Oh, really? I said, yeah, just trying to get some thoughts for Sunday. Oh, really? Are you a pastor? I go, yeah, really? Where's your church at? I told her. She goes, well, I go to the Evangelical Free, I guess, Lutheran or whatever on the south side of Afton, the little church south of Afton. I think it's the Evangelical Free Lutheran or something. I think it's a Lutheran. I said, you do? Yeah. I said, well, that's great. But anyway, you know, you just begin to take those conversations, and we got tied up and she got busy and couldn't continue on further after that. But I think a relative of hers was like a pastor or something of the church at one time, and that's changed and whatnot, but they still go there. And anyway, it was just a great conversational thing of begin to open up and see those things. You have people come by, you know, at those places, and it's not to make a show, but, you know, if you're reading your Bible and you got it open, or when I do go see my brother there, he brings his Bible. I got my Bible sometimes. We open them all up, and we're talking about the scripture, this scripture, that, you know, and these people coming by and saying their pleasantries and all. It was a... Let's just be in that example. Not to be show-offish. It's not to look at me. It's not to say, look how big my Bible is. Look how many lines I've got in my Bible. It's none of those things. But it's just to be that of a follower of Christ. And so as we take communion, I think Jesus continues to say that, you know, do this in remembrance of me. And I remember that he died on the cross for me. And I want to follow him. I want to be that example. And so as Paul shared, Lord, we look at these emblems that were holding on our hands, the juice for that of the blood, the cracker of that of the body. And what each one represents is a very, very powerful element. For you hung up on the cross for us. Willingly you climbed upon that cross to die for us, to fulfill your destiny that was set forth. But Lord, you've asked us to continue to do this in remembrance of you, and it's not to remember that you're hanging on that cross. I remember, yes, all that you did, all that you said, all that you have given to me. by that of the blood, and receiving you as my Lord and Savior, the cleansing of the blood. Oh, hallelujah. But I know that you're there at the right hand of God the Father, and that, Lord, now that of the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within us and leads us and guides us, speaks to us. I feel your love through that of the Holy Spirit. I sense direction through that of the Holy Spirit. I feel a peace through that of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. And so, Lord, right now, we will partake of the bread, which represents that of your body, as you would say in your time at that Passover, take. For this is my body, broken for you. Shall we partake of that? And Lord, you continued likewise and said, this cup represents the blood, the new covenant. And Lord, we thank you for this new covenant that, Lord, we have been adopted. We've been engrafted into the family. But Lord, your blood cleanses that of the sin completely, totally. And Lord, you said that as well. To take and drink, and to do this in remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, as we find our times here today have come to a close, we're so thankful to know that you go with us. We invite you to come, Lord, with us. Go where we're going this afternoon and into this week. Thank you, Father, for giving us direction. Help us understand, Lord, what you would want. And as we come out of today, Lord, asking for the leading of your Spirit in us, Lord, even for this church, I pray for individually, Lord, that we, as we gather again next week, Lord, that I believe, Lord, there will be more of you, Lord. I pray for just a fulfillment of the Holy Spirit in this place. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We pray for those that haven't been able to make it here today, Lord. And we lift them up, Lord. And Lord, as we come to that of the time of giving, Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of the giver, Lord. I thank you for the gift given, Lord, is to continue, Lord. Lord, let us continue to move your message down through these lives that we come into contact with, Lord. But as a church, that we can take that which is given and sow it into missions overseas, into some areas of local ministries here, Lord. I pray for the giver that, Lord, you will bless them in their jobs or through their income levels, whatever it might be, but that, Lord, you are the provider of all. And Lord, we know that if we don't have health, we have nothing. And I just pray for healing and strength as well upon each of our bodies. Pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.